perspective. We got the cool, we got the muscle, and you know we effing rule. We are the Geek Grills, we are the Geek Grills. Alright! We got the know-how, we got control, we got the knowledge, and we tell you how it rolls. We are the Geek Grills, we are the Geek Grills. Alright! We are the Geek Grills, we are the Geek Grills. Tonight!
Hell yeah.
Oh, and welcome to episode 208 of Geek Girls, the Geek Girls podcast supported primarily by our patrons. You can find us at patreon.com/grills. I'm Linda, and I'm joined by my co-host, Amber.
Hello.
And Ray.
Hello.
Hello. So today's topic is book club. Book club time. The book that we read is called Lamb, the Gospel According to Biff, Christ's Childhood Pal, by Christopher Moore, which is a little bit of a mouthful, but 'twas good. So, well, spoilers, I guess. Anyway, we'll get into that in a minute. So, what have y'all been up to? Amber?
Well, I went to Digital Noir, hosted by DJ Spider, at the Milestone in Charlotte, which is the... I didn't really realize, I knew it was historic and everything, but I also discovered while I was there, it's a poke gym in Go. Hey. And part of the described history, it is the oldest music venue in Charlotte. So that was kind of neat. And fun as always, a lot of elder goths, and we were happy to see how that goth industrial genre has lasted through the ages at this point. Like, there were... different generations of people there, and the crowd was so diverse compared to what we usually see or did when we were younger, and that was exciting. My son has the Rona. I got home from our foray into Charlotte, and he's like, Mom, I'm sick. I have a really bad sore throat, and I've got sniffles now, and I think I might have the Rona. I'm like, okay. So Sunday I was trying to find testing, and that was impossible. I ran over to an urgent care that supposedly does testing, and they, because we couldn't get the online scheduling to work, and they said come back tomorrow at 12:30. So we went Monday and had some nasty surprises. Be careful when you're getting COVID testing. It's supposed to be, you know, free everywhere. My husband's employer covers it fully, everything else. But this place decided to charge us the full urgent care copay plus $50. It's like, oh, if you don't meet your deductible and you have to be seen by a provider. So even though they show up in free testing sites and just testing sites at the top of Google searches locally, nah, because we could have just gone through a drive-through at Walgreens or CVS and gotten a test for free. But we're also in a little bit of a hurry because he was supposed to go back to work Monday and his boss needed to know. So yeah, I paid way too much money, and they gave him a flu test and pneumonia and the COVID rapid, and said, if that comes back negative, if everything's negative, we'll give you the PCR test. And nope, he just straight up came back rapid positive. And then I had to scramble around to completely quarantine him because I contacted my other son's school. He's still attending in-person high school, and find out what the policy was exactly. So I had to get his vax records over, and I was really happy that the school nurse was like, I've seen him in the halls, and I know he's really good at actually wearing his mask properly. Just remind him at lunch to sit a little further, and as long as he doesn't have any symptoms and there's no shared space, you're fine. I thought we'd get away with just sanitizing every time Victor had to use the bathroom, but no, it has to be no shared space at all, like a full quarantine, in order for his younger brother to keep going to school. So now we have to share the upstairs bathroom with the youngest kid, and Victor basically can't come out of his room at all. I'm delivering meals to his door because he can't, if he goes out into the kitchen to make himself something to eat in the middle of the night or whatever, it's considered shared space.
Yep.
So I had to get all that locked down. But the good news is he's heard from his boss. He's working for 7-Eleven, which is, that's where he got it. None of the rest of us have any symptoms, and our exposures are very limited. His was not limited. I mean, it's also a truck stop, so saw many people every day, and even masking and vaccinated got it. But they said he returned to work the 27th, the doctor said, and his boss said, yep, you can come back as soon as you're clear, and he might even get paid for the time he is off.
That's good.
Yeah, considering he's only been there a couple of weeks. I believe that's probably due, if it happens, to part of the federal funding that's been, you know, the companies can still get a tax credit on that. And I hope none of the rest of us get it, because I also found out in this fighting and figuring out the insurance that although my husband's company is paying for all COVID testing still, they ended covering all COVID care. I guess they were doing that, and I didn't know. They ended that at the end of June. So I was like, ooh, they should change that. And
While you're
talking to HR, honey, can you tell them they probably should have told us all that shit up front? My younger one has started his D&D club at school, and that was really cute and exciting. He baked cookies, and I sent sodas along, and we got him new dice, and I'm trying to get my husband to print him one of these nifty dice towers so he can be a show off at D&D club, but we'll see. But he came home, there's like 7 DMs.
Oh wow.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Like, he's been trying to start a club for years and couldn't, and now there's a club and they have more DMs than they know what to do with. So they have
Everybody gets to be a player.
Right.
Just rotate it.
Yeah, they have a whole bunch of different groups going, and they're using addendums, like he's playing an artificer. They did some character creation, and he was really excited to talk to me about it, which I love. Like, he knows I know what he's saying. Mm-hmm. I feel bad for the other parents, because I'm sure they're all like,
They're learning math skills.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Especially if they want to go back and do a second edition with Thaco.
No.
Right? No. No, they're playing 5E.
I think my hatred of math stems from. No.
I can understand that. That was horrible.
I had
a DM for a while who insisted on using only that. And if you're playing that and a different edition, can I tell you?
Oh, no.
That when the roles work the opposite sometimes even. Yeah. Math. So the other really cool thing that happened this week was a farmer friend of mine had a huge haul of shiitake mushrooms. Like, huge. And he posted on Facebook, he said, I guess I need more recipes for shiitakes. And people were pitching in, and I was like, I make a great hot and sour soup, and I like them for that. But would you sell me any? And he's like, I will just give you some. And he dropped off a bunch at my house. Like, a lot. I sauteed some. I've got some more in the fridge. I went ahead and made hot and sour soup. I dehydrated 6 full racks of them.
Wow.
Yeah. And all he asked was, like, give him half of what I dehydrated. So I've got those shrink-wrapped for him because I'm isolating just for everyone else's safety, because even though I don't have the Rona, it's in my house.
Yeah. And
I'm a little stressed out about that. I was actually talking to my therapist today about it. She's like, how are you with that? Because she knows I am subject to complications and so extra scared of it. And hearing Ray's story about her friend recently, like, that's specifically the type of complications I'm concerned with having. But I'm the one who had to take my son for his testing, and any exposure that has to happen, exchanging, like, I'm taking his dishes from after he eats, and I'm washing them myself, because even though I'm the highest risk in the house, I'm at the least risk of catching it, because I got the third shot.
Yeah. Is he feeling okay? Like, is it so far, like, kind of not going to have to go to the hospital?
So far, not seeming like he's going to go to the hospital, not specific trouble breathing. He did get a new inhaler prescription, but it's a nasty cough and sniffles, and he was sneezing a lot the first few days and had some stomach trouble, but now it's just, I feel like shit. This is terrible. But no fever, no actual, you know, just a little fatigue. He isn't, like, passed out for 12 hours like other people I know have been. So, and hopefully the worst is over. And, yeah, he's got the Moderna, so should be, stick to being a mild case.
Yeah. I saw they had just released, like, I think it was an NPR story about, like, the Moderna being the most effective to help, like, rebound from, was it breakthrough cases, excuse me.
Yeah, so. It's the most effective for breakthroughs and for contracting it. So, hopefully we're good. 2 out of 3 of us have Moderna. The youngest has Pfizer because it's all he was eligible for.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I have a big quarantine sign on the downstairs bathroom so that he hopefully does remembers to not go in there.
Yeah.
So what have you been up to, Ray?
Well, I started playing Vampire Bloodlines to deal with the LARP drop from the night in question. And also because I've never played it. So my husband...
I watched some of that.
What?
I watched you playing some of that.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, my husband walked in, looked, and immediately recognized the clan and said, how can she be playing Clan Malkavia when there is no Clan Malkavia?
It's because Bloodlines came out, like, 2004. Scott has been on my case to play this game forever, my husband. And when I initially tried to play, I did the... They have, like, you can opt to, like, choose your clan, or you can do a little quiz. Well, I did the quiz, and I got my favorite clan, which was Nosferatu. So I'm like, I'm going to play a Nos. Oh, God, how do I do anything? Nos is hard mode. Like, it really is. Like, I'm going to go back once I finish beating it. But you can't be seen. Like, anytime you're seen, it's a masquerade break. You have 5 masquerade breaks you can do. Well, 4 masquerade breaks. And you have 5 masquerade breaks, and the game is over. And it's just, it was not a good clan to start with. So this time, because I wanted to try and remake as close as I can my Sabbat Gangrel trash fire, I did that. And my husband is giving me grief because he's like, why do you always play murder hobos the first time you play a game? I'm not a murder hobo in real life. It's fun to be, like, low humanity, just about everything. Okay, I don't do that. I don't even tell the waiter when they get my order wrong. Give me this, at least. So. I think I'm a good portion of the way in the game with the Gangrel. I actually have unlocked 3 of the 4 areas right now. So when I'm doing it on stream, which I'll try to do weekly. I might have to do it on Saturday this week instead of Friday. I'm playing a Malkavian because my Gangrel just is low humanity. So when you're low humanity, you have very few dialogue options. Usually you have the meanest ones possible. So with my Malkavian, I'm trying to go high humanity and, like, high socials so I can get all the dialogue options, because when That's what I've taken away from years of BioWare.
It's not a dating sim.
But I like to have all the options.
This is like when you played Dragon Age and you were like, I'm going to romance everyone. And I was like, it's Dragon Age. It's not a dating sim.
You know, you can marry Alistair. You can bang Alistair. You can bang a lot of them. Morgan, you break my heart, but I understand. As long as we're besties, you'll always be my waifu.
So, yeah. Ray just turns every game into fuck, marry, kill, is what we're saying here.
I guess. Not a dating sim.
Renegade for life! No. But yeah, I admittedly, like, first character run through, especially with BioWare, like, Mass Effect. Yeah, first run is almost always Renegade-esque.
You get to be mean, and then you decide not to be mean.
Well, yeah, I get to be mean, I get to make the worst choices possible, and then, when I want to do the proper playthrough, I know what not to do. I don't, there's nothing wrong with this.
No, it's a solid strategy. I'm just...
it is valid, and, you know, sometimes we all have a little murder hobo inside us, and all it wants to do is stab. Or, yeah, in this case, the fire axe is, like, hands down my number one favorite tool.
Just a little stabbing, sir. It's fine.
Just a little stabbing. It's okay.
It does seem really true to the LARP for Nosferatu to be the hard mode.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely. So what about you, Linda? What have you been up to?
I've been making stuff. I am currently wearing the newest dress that I've made. It's the same pattern that I made the last one from, but I improved the neckline. I brought the sleeves in a little bit, and I have fixed the bottom. It turns out gores are your friend. Thank you, Christine, for that knowledge. Because the dress is cut up and down because it's a vintage pattern. So they're like, obviously women have no curves, and we're going to just cut it straight up and down. So I had to add, like, a, like, she even, Christine had an extra, like, it's, what does she call it? I forget there's a specific name for it, but it's basically a ruler that's curved, so you can add a hip curve.
Oh, yeah.
To a pattern that you're working on. And she had an extra one, so she just gave it to me. So I added a hip curve. I added some gores in. Gores are basically extra little triangles of fabric for people that are not sewers. I don't know why they're called gores. I don't know why these things are called darts. I don't know why it's called a hemline. I don't know.
Like, that sounds like it's the opposite of a dart.
Yeah, basically.
I know what a dart is.
Yes. So it's just, it fits nicer. I'm going to go and probably fix the first mock-up that I made. This is technically a second mock-up because there are a couple more tweaks I want to make, but I think the next one that I'm gonna attempt is I want to do like a black front, and then the bottom splits into a split skirt. I want to do the skirt in red and white polka dots, and then I'll line it in black, and I'll wear it to Disney World as Minnie Mouse.
Aww.
You know, because I like Disney bounding, and what better way than to make your own Disney bound? Yeah. So that was fun. That was basically like my weekend was making this dress. And then Matthew's been making a box.
Okay.
I don't know if you can hear him. I don't know if you can hear the construction sounds.
No, but we can see the faces you're making.
He's hammering something right now, and I'm surprised that my microphone isn't picking it up, but it's been hammering and some slight drilling sounds every now and then, so I'm surprised that y'all haven't been able to hear that, but he's been making basically a box to carry his minis in. So it's real fancy. It has a lid that flips up from the side, and it's got magnetized shelves in it, so he's going all out for it. It's just, I guess he doesn't realize the sound carries so well. The garage is right under me. So it's just, I'm just hearing All right, fine, whatever. Hi, kitty. Oh God, sorry. She hopped up into my lap, and there was skirt, but nothing under it, so she almost fell off. Hey, baby, how are you? Everything's happening. The other thing that I made is I made a Christmas pocket so that I can take it with me and wear it when we're our Christmas pirates at Ren Fair.
Yay!
I now have a pretty Christmas pocket.
That's covered in poinsettias.
Yeah, it's got like it's hard to tell on camera, but it's most of it is lined in like a metallic gold. So like I don't know if you can even see, but it's got very very pretty. I found that they already have all the Christmas fabric out at Joann's, and it's on sale. So I was like, I'm going to take a quarter yard of that and a quarter yard of that. Could you also put the Halloween fabric on sale? No? No? Okay.
This weekend we have plans. Our plans are to do, like, spooky window shopping. We both came back negative, so I'm like... Can't take away all my Halloween stuff yet. It's not even October.
Yeah, I found the spirit nearest to me, at least in Kennesaw. So it's in the old Sears building at.
Oh God! At the mall. Did I just do?
Uh oh! What happened?
it's fine as long as everything is still connected. I think I hit
a
thing
and see you.
Yeah.
Except oh good. Just my other monitor. Just there we go.
One of your monitors just went blank. That's terrifying.
Yeah, no, that was it. It's fixed now. Thank you,
okay,
Kitty.
Good.
editing.
Yeah, I've been making things, and I'm in the midst of making. It's hard to tell what it is right now, but this is another fall Bulbasaur.
Aww.
I have his head and his body. I have almost all of his pieces, and then I got to stuff it and put it all together. So maybe by next week I'll have him all done with his little pumpkin on his back. We'll see. But yeah, that's basically what I've been doing. A flurry of making things, fabric and yarn, is what I do.
And haven't even started the whole Christmas present situation yet.
All right, so... Now we're going to get into today's topic discussion, which is book club for this quarter, because we try and do it every quarter. The book that we read is called Lamb, The Gospel According to Biff, Christ's Childhood Pal, by Christopher Moore. It's comedic. I mean, you can kind of tell from the title. What did y'all think of it?
Well, I love this book. I read it. ages ago, and I think I was reminded to put it on our book club list because I, in my desk drawer here in the studio, I've got this, you know, sometimes we're sitting here talking and I'm going through the random crap for years and years in my drawer, and there was a letter in here that was sent to me. So I worked with somebody on the 2008 Obama campaign that was flown in from like Minnesota or something. Really nice guy. Like, so nice. Like, very religious, perfect dude. And I was like, I don't know. We got to be pals, and I was kind of like, I think he'll like this book. You know, I mean, granted, it can be offensive if he's too conservative, but he's not. I mean, he's working with me in this liberal situation, and he's gotten used to my shenanigans. So I lent it to him before he moved away again, and then something like 6 years later, I get an envelope in the mail with this very sweet letter when he mailed me back the book. And he was like, aww. I bet you thought I forgot. And he really enjoyed it, too. And I liked it so much. I think this is the first Christopher Moore book I read. But I went ahead and I got, let me see, Bloodsucking Fiends, Fluke, or Why I Know Why the Winged Whale Sings, And Island of the Sequin Love Nun. Like, I bought a bunch of his books and read them in a tear after I read Lamb. I didn't keep reading all of them. It kind of wore off, and I don't think any of them are quite as good as Lamb was. But
well, I mean, they do kind of have the similar theme of being slightly irreverent.
Yes, he definitely has a style. But the things with Lamb, I mean, it's not a completely original concept to stick your own version of the Bible. I mean, but he pays tribute to that in places for sure. I mean, we can think of Life of Brian.
Mm-hmm.
If you like Life of Brian, you're probably going to be okay with this.
Yeah,
and it has scenes in it that are like that, the monks insulting you and slamming the door.
Mm-hmm. I wrote in the notes that it reminded me of a couple, and these were shows that we did actually at the church that I grew up in. But these church musicals that we would do, there's one. They're a little less, I don't know. In the beginning can be pretty irreverent, but it reminded me of In the Beginning, which is basically the Old Testament, but like there's this group of people that have been there, and they're there making like peanut gallery commentary for like all these big things that happen, and like when Adam and Eve get kicked out of the garden, they are also there and they get kicked out of the garden. When the flood happens, they manage to survive by floating in barrels, I think it is, or something like that. It's very silly. But it's that same kind of like, it's biblical, but from a perspective slightly off to the side.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, people can gather from the title, The Gospel According to Biff, Christ's Childhood Pale. But the premise of the book, for those of you out there listening, is the celestials decide, okay, it's time to tell the rest of the story, because all the gospels that exist in the Bible don't start until Jesus is like 30. How about we let Biff tell his story about them growing up? And they raise him from the dead, stick him in a hotel room with an angel, and make him write these gospels. And I mean, the character of Biff is hilarious, bro, sex maniac, fuck up, like, but he's a great sidekick for somebody who's pure and needs someone to look after him. That's a great best friend to have, right? Like, the nice people that you know have some asshole best friend, but they protect them. I am familiar with this. I have seen my children collect friends like this. And one of the things I really, really loved about it was the level of research in it. Mm-hmm. Like, for as stupid, absurd things that are done comedically in it, the research into the background of, like, the geography of the places he took Joshua and Biff, and the cultures, and the language barriers, and different religions. And I'm a huge nerd for that, because I studied religion in college and stuff, and on my own a lot. And so I studied some stuff about Buddhism and Confucianism and these different religions that, you know, they come across and are talked about here and there in the book. And there's some, like, really accurate presentations in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. I like the kind of road trip aspect of it.
Yeah. Well, it was a lot of time to fill if you were to just make up this story about where he was then, right?
Yeah.
And they did a pretty neat job of that. And then the bacon thing, because, I mean, the overarching thing in Christianity, the whole between, you know, Judaism and Christianity and the Old Testament and the New Testament, and, like, it took all those gazillion commandments from Leviticus that they would have been living under, because, you know, that's, the Ten Commandments weren't even Torah, they were writings then and stuff, and they were part of the teachings, but it all getting boiled down even further into the golden rule of doing to others, which does mesh with, I mean, when I studied philosophy of religion, you study all the major religions, if you boil them down to one little philosophy, it's do unto others. It's that be excellent to each other situation, like Bill and Ted. And, you know, there's a lot of Joshua, you know, Jesus being very careful. Well, I don't think I can do that. I don't think I can do that. But all these laws they live under, and then as they travel, you know, I don't think, I mean, the Pharisees, no one back home's going to know if we have bacon. And I don't think God really cares. So it's just one of those things, I think we can let that one go. And there are a few things here and there, and they're often dietary things. It's like, yeah, I don't think he really cares about that so much. And it just gets to be a running gag till by the end of the book when it's like, I thought you couldn't do that. Well, you know, bacon. It becomes shorthand for that, like, that's not really as big a deal as the zealots and the Pharisees make it out to be. But I love that other point of view. I think there was tribute to Monty Python in this that was obvious. I think there was a Douglas Adams nod. Another cute, clever thing in Christopher Moore's writings that he did with the character of Biff, because Biff isn't likable. Like, right in the first part of the book, the angel's like, oh, God, do we have to? He's such an asshole. And, you know, he is kind of an asshole. But he throws all this stuff, and you know, he's writing his own gospel about, like, inventing sarcasm and inventing the match and getting an a flat earth argument with Christ. Not like, no, it's flat. Like, the water just goes off the edge. Everybody knows that. And Biff is like, I don't know. It looks like it curves to me. I think it's round. Well, of course it's round. Like a, you know, plate. Like, no, I think like a ball. And Jesus is like, that's stupid. Well, what if the earth is sticky? So he's like talking about gravity, but it's like it's, you're sticky, he's like, but invisible sticky. But then he said this thing about, well, I mean, it's more like metaphorically sticky. And if you just decided to believe it wasn't, you would fly off into the air. And that to me screamed Douglas Adams, because that's the whole trick to flying, is to throw yourself at the ground and miss.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I don't know, it was just, it's so well written and so clever, and it keeps my attention. Like, even on a reread, I just really enjoyed myself again. I will always recommend this book to people.
It is fun,
and I've yet to run into anyone actually being offended by it. Like, even religious people. But maybe because that's who I surround myself with.
Maybe.
So it has the right amount of tone. To be slightly irreverent, but not insulting.
Yeah, I mean, there's actual religious references in it, like I said, and some are accurate. And then there's Biff obviously bullshitting, trying to say something's, you know, from the Torah and quoting a book with a ridiculous name. I can't remember the name of them, but, like, you know. He'll just make up something that's obviously silly. I'm interested in these church musicals you did, Linda. I had not heard of either of those.
Oh, okay. So, like I said, In the Beginning is kind of the same sort of tone, because a lot of the characters that you follow in the Beginning are kind of assholes. So it's a very similar tone. You've got a couple that are like, you're rooting for them, but a lot of the surrounding ones are kind of like, I think the one of the characters' name was, it's been a while, it was like Romer, and he kept being like, I'm inventing everything, very much like Biff. And it's very obvious that he's not. But also it's a musical, so there's songs like, you know, No Women in the Bible, which is hilarious. Yeah. It's like...
It's in a very liberal church.
Well, it's like I remember very specifically one line from that. Like, I don't know why that one line of music has stuck in my head, but like the very end of it is like, if Abraham begot Isaac, begot Jacob, there must have been a her.
put women in the Bible.
Yeah, it's very tongue in cheek that way. And then Cotton Patch Gospel is very much about the life of Jesus, but it's as if it was set in rural Georgia, which is why we did it, because it was where was he supposed to have been? Gainesville. He was supposed to have been born in Gainesville, Georgia. And it's just this, like, it started off as a one-man show, and you can actually, I think, watch it on YouTube, the one-man show, because it was just one guy and then, like, this quartet of like banjo and a bass and a couple of other instruments. And he was doing everything, but you actually had, there was an entire like stage show with everybody else. So we did the big stage show, and it was very much the, we're telling the life of Jesus slightly skewed.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we are able to do, we did a bunch of, those are the two that I remember very distinctly because I was in them. I think, did we do Godspell? Can't remember. I don't remember if we did Godspell or not. I feel like that's a yes, but it's been a long time.
See, I love this kind of material so much too. Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned Godspell. Because Godspell does that. Jesus Christ Superstar does that.
Mm-hmm.
Is kind of giving some other points of view, but this book does an entirely different time period, which I don't mm-hmm. really know of. I can't think of off the top of my head any books that do that try to fill in those missing years, other than Life of Brian does a little of that.
Yeah, and even Cotton Patch is, they have a couple of scenes where it's young Jesus, but then it skips forward, so. Yeah, this was it's the same kind of tone, but it was definitely a different, like, take on, because it is, it goes from, I'm telling people in the temple how to do stuff and I'm 10, to I'm now 30.
Yeah. It's like people are afraid to stray away from anything that's not backed up by the Bible, as if it was written anywhere near the time it took place.
Mm-hmm. And by one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was written by a lot of people, a lot of men.
And I kind of like how Biff, they have this little back and forth where you get his thoughts while he's writing, because he discovers a copy of the Bible in the hotel drawer, because we know that's a thing. Mm-hmm. And he's like,
idiot.
I don't know who this Matthew guy was. That wasn't our Matthew. That guy couldn't write for shit. And it actually reminded me, too, I mean, it's not a Christ story, but when I was in junior high, and this was when I was still Catholic, before the church left me, I had a creative writing class, and I found this snippet of a play, and I can't even, it's really hard, like, I guess I can buy it on Kindle, but it's not the easiest thing to get a hold of, is Arthur Miller, ages ago, wrote a play called The Creation of the World and Other Business. And I found it in junior high, and I love this thing. And I took a scene from it as part of, it wasn't creative writing, it must have been, it had to be creative writing, because we didn't have a drama class. I don't know. Some class I had, and we had to do a presentation, and we took a scene from that play. And it's got a very irreverent tone, and it's from creation to when Adam and Eve get kicked out.
Mm-hmm.
So I pulled this scene where, so God made Adam and Eve, and he was trying to get them to procreate, and they couldn't figure out a way to tempt them to do that. And Lucifer's like, well, I mean, come on. I mean, you should just let them eat the apple, because then they'll be curious about things. If they praise you for these flowers, they're going to praise you more for when they understand, you know, how pollination works. And, you know, just when you give them that knowledge and that science and that curiosity, they're just going to have more to praise you for. What could possibly go wrong, you know, type. And I tapped my band nerd friends, and we brought risers into the front of the class. And I wore all white, and I, my black friend, she wore all white, and then I wore all black. And we played out the scene with God and Lucifer, where Lucifer's trying to convince God that they should totally eat that apple because they'll just praise him more. And it was, yeah, slightly shocking. Thankfully, I was already in public school. Had I tried that in Catholic school, I'd have probably gotten expelled, but...
All the rulers,
yep.
I love that different, just a different way to think about stuff sometimes, and that this book, it's just a fun comedic romp, but, like, you can relate to the character, you know, so much more.
You know what else I just realized? It reminds me of Good Omens.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, yeah. Good Omens is, like, an entirely different story, but there is the beginning part where they're, like, you know, talking about how they became besties, kind of.
What happened to your sword? Oh, I gave it to them.
Yeah.
You just banished them. They're going to need the sword.
I was reminded in this reread, too, because we just finished watching The Last of Lucifer. And Rob and I were talking about it because we were talking about this change in the celestial order in that show. And, you know, Amenadiel's talking about basically creating like a parliamentary system instead of just like one omnipotent god and running things that way. And it's like, because the angels are going around being just fuck-ups and just randomly granting wishes like stupid. And it's so close to the portrayal of angels in Lamb, where... like, Biff starts yelling at the angels, like, you know why God made us, don't you? Do you understand? You're just, like, not having free will. You're parts of the machine. You're all a bunch of dumb fucks. And he couldn't stand to just be around you anymore. And that... I love that point of view, and I feel like that carried into this whole idea when you start to meet different angels in Lucifer, and that's a game in work. There's this kind of, like, wow, they're not, like, they have their specific tasks, which is how, biblically, I mean, they were all named, and they all had jobs, and they were all just very specific cogs in the machine. Like, none of the angels in Scripture have any personality, mm-hmm. And it kind of explains that the same way. That, you know, Gaiman, I think, had it easier writing things like Good Omens, where you're using other ancient mythologies that have whole pantheons. Like, you can throw different personalities on, you know, Mercury and...
Yeah, it's the same with Supernatural. It's like, I mean, angels didn't become a thing in Supernatural until, like, the third season anyway. Because I think one of the writers was like, oh, if there are demons, there must also be angels.
Mm.
And then they started that whole thing.
It's funny, because in The Good Place... they dance around that a lot. Like, well, not really in heaven, hell, like you're saying, but whatever. And I'm really liking that show. And then when he's... there's a scene where one of the characters who is a demon is trying to tell a lie and explain who they are. And he's like, well, there are these demons. Oh, wait, that's a real thing. They're djinn. Because he's trying to convince them he's like an FBI agent who's... supernatural investigating. Like, it was just really absurd, but I felt like they're in jokes when you're into these kind of stories.
Yeah. And again, you know, all those things we just mentioned, you have some people that are like, but it's good. It's pretty good entertainment for most of us.
So now you have me thinking back to Anomine, which is a tabletop game where you you can role play as angels or demons or people, just boring people. But like they go on, like they have like different types of angels and different types of demons, and you have different archangels or archdemons that your character is connected with. And now I'm just thinking back to that, and that was a fun game, honestly. Like, we played an angel game, but it was still lots of fun, and we always wanted to do a demon game, but never got around to it. Just because it would be Murder Hobos.
RPG?
Yeah, it's an
RPG. Yeah, it's a tabletop RPG. It's put out by, oh god, it's the group that does all the things. I have one over here. Like, give me 2 seconds, I can tell you who publishes it.
Okay.
But it's
You can just put a link in the notes.
Yeah. Anomine is interesting because your angel has a true form, which is the biblical true form. So, you know, wheels with eyes.
Steve Jackson. That's it. It's Steve Jackson Games.
Oh, okay.
It's old at this point. Actually, when we went up to Asheville, in addition to finding a bunch of Trinity and Aberrant books, they had some of the Anomine books. And I was like, we have a good chunk of them. I'm like, Scott, are we missing any? Do I need to get any of these? He's like, no, not unless you're going to run a game. I'm like, no.
I know that feel.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just like to read the books. But it is a fun little tabletop game. It wouldn't be too expensive now. Steve Jackson Games.
Yeah, we'll figure that out. And put it in the notes.
We put links.
But I love this book, and I will continue to recommend it to anyone who has a sense of humor. And I don't know, it's just got a special place in my heart. As irreverent and comedic as it is, that it's well researched, and that it makes, like, it puts you in that place very well. Like, and then Christopher Moore has a good point. At some point, Jesus was a little kid. And a teenager, and making that a relatable thing and what he had to go through in that part of his life is an interesting story, even if you're just making that shit up.
He was resurrecting lizards, right? That was the
yeah, when Biff first came across
when Biff first meets him, he's resurrecting lizards.
Yeah, like his little brother's like smashing him, and it's just like a little trick. Puts it in his mouth, brings it back out. Smash. Which, that is totally some shit kid would do, is when they figured out they could resurrect little things.
Yeah.
Just boys.
So, I guess we, as a whole, we do recommend. Ember definitely recommends. but, yeah, if you like kind of slightly irreverent, but fun, then you should read... full name, Lamb, the Gospel According to Biff, Christ's Childhood Pal, by Christopher Moore. I don't know if you're just supposed to call it Lamb, or Gospel According to Biff, or...
I mean, you could search by Lamb Christopher Moore and find it easily enough. And I recommend other Christopher Moore books, too. If you're a little shy of the Jesus stuff, but you want some vampire comedy, he's got that, too.
All right. So before we move on, I'm going to roll a die for our next book on the list. So our list currently contains... Trigor by Tom Merritt, Dracula by Bram Stoker, The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho. I butchered that name, I'm so sorry. Memoirs of a Geisha by Arthur Golden, The Book Thief by Marcus Zusak. I should have practiced. The Magister Trilogy by C.F. Friedman, Parable of the Sower by Octavia Butler, The Dove Keeper by Evelyn Deshane and Emily James is her pseudonym. So, we're going to add another book to it that just came out by Elvira called Yours Cruelly. But I don't think we can easily get hold of it right this moment because it just came out. So we're not going to add it to this week's or this quarter's books for next quarter. I'm making hand motions. Okay, so I shall roll the die. I give everything a number, 1 through 8. I have an 8-sided die. 2. Dracula.
Ooh.
Going with a classic. Shall we be reading?
How weird will that be? I mean, that seems really wonderfully appropriate for us. Yeah. We're going to be doing this at about Christmas time. So we'll be doing Dracula at Christmas, and we can do it and mention that. What's that Icelandic book holiday we talked about before?
The
book flood thing that you give
the
books
flood,
at Christmas.
The book flood.
Yeah.
It's right around Christmas.
Yeah, we'll be doing this episode around then.
I can Jola Boca Flood. My pronunciation of English is crappy to start with. So trying to pronounce anything else is awful. I'm sorry.
Fine. So I have been told that I should listen to it in audiobook form. Because apparently that's terrifying.
It's been forever. I think I've read that in elementary school, so I will happily listen to it instead this time around.
I haven't.
So that's our book.
Actually read it.
It's okay. I haven't either. I know.
I felt like it was mandatory in the 80s to be a good goth girl and read it along
that's
with
fair.
My Edgar Allan
nope.
Poe books.
Apparently not, because I got away without doing it.
Well, I've also got, like, I was in elementary school still, so.
Yeah, I got away without it. People just assumed I read it. Like, they assumed I read all the Anne Rice stuff before I read it.
I don't like Anne Rice that much. But then again, I'm also not 13 anymore, so who knows?
There's that.
Yep. All right, so, if y'all have a book, you know, thing, a book thing. I've been speaking English for about 30 years now, and I can't grammar right.
So says the writer.
I'm a writer. If you'd like to leave a suggestion for our book club list, there we go. You can chime in by emailing us at geekgirls@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at geekgirls. So, what are y'all most anticipating coming up? Ember?
Isolating. Again. I'm trying to think of things to do. I kind of think like, well, maybe I should take this time and make some masks. I have all this fabric cut out, and I've been meaning to, like, wait, is that okay? I should probably not make a bunch of masks to give people while there's actually actively COVID in my house, right? Like, that's probably not the right thing to do. But I'll find something.
I don't think it lives on surfaces that long, and you can also disinfect them and give them a chance to dry out outside before giving them to people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just learned the other day that back in medieval times, they used sunlight to kill bugs, because UV kills bugs, apparently. The not regular bugs, but microscopic bugs.
I do know that it turns out COVID lives a lot less time on surfaces than we used to think, but whatever. But maybe I should try to make my own pocket for Ren, because I do want one to go with my outfit, but it is a little beyond my capability. Like, I don't know what that bordering tie stuff you use is called.
It's bias tape.
I thought it might be bias tape. But I've never actually used it.
It's extra wide, double fold bias tape.
Okay, because I looked at some when I last went to the fabric store, and I was like, I think that's what that is, and how big does it need? And I don't know what I'm doing. And I found myself after I made these notes last night, I dreamed that somebody gave me a bunch of stuff, and I was unpacking it, and there was bias tape in it, and I was excited and going to go ahead and try to make a pocket.
Do it.
Your brain is obviously going, do it.
Yeah, I know. And I don't have anything to lose. But I also don't have... I mean, I guess it's a good time to practice while I'm isolating. I don't want to... Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go to the fabric store and be touching things. But I can use some fabric that's in bins going to waste right now to practice, right?
Yes, I will send you a link.
Okay.
About making the pocket. That should help you.
Okay. It seems like a good project to step toward garments. Mm-hmm. Like, the only garments I've ever made is skirts, and they've just been kind of half-assed. And tunics, but that doesn't count. It's like a rectangle with a hole in it. So, yeah, not a whole lot. Just surviving being just me and the boys in the house more again. Mm-hmm.
What about you, Ray?
Looking forward to, Ray?
More Bloodlines. I was actually playing some right before this meeting, so gotta get back and figure out how to kill a gargoyle. Currently, that's my quest. And then we've got a spooky window shopping date for this weekend. We're gonna just look, and I'm gonna try not to buy all the things. But Scott will be with me to make sure I don't buy all the things that I really want. And we'll, yeah.
I have to say, Dollar Store has actually pretty good Halloween decorations.
I do need to go by there, and it's right behind my house. Mm-hmm. Then also want to try and, like, see about getting folks, like, coordinated for the haunted houses. Like, I'm okay passing on Netherworld, because that's all inside, but there's the 13 stories at the Ren Fair. Spooky thing that I want to do because that one's outside. So
you guys have fun with that.
Aw, you don't want to go to the haunted witch's village? That's fair. It's fine.
If I can be someplace where something is not going to jump at me, I'll be okay. But I have literally punched someone before.
That's what fair. Rob said. I tried to make a haunted woods or a date night, and he's like, I don't want to hit anyone.
Yeah, I'm concerned for the actors, not myself.
And then I actually started this last week, and it's my gangrel sketch, looking all feral. I've got to fix her, because the limbs are, the proportions are still slightly off, so I still have to fix it before I ink it, but I would like to ink it so I can post it on Instagram, because that's been a hot minute. And then finally, this Friday, we're going to do Atomic Youth recording for our Aberrant characters. So my character gets to meet up with her unofficial nemesis, and hopefully we get to have just petty bickering awfulness, and I'm excited about it. Like, both players are cool out of play. Like, we're excited to have our characters hate each other and just be nasty. And I'm so excited. Well, she's playing like an e-girl type character, and I'm playing like an influencer, but I actually don't have any social skills whatsoever. So I'm going to lose to her. But I'm going to be so upset about it. Just so, so petty. It's going to be great. What about you, Linda?
More pockets, probably. I have a whole bunch of fabric with coordinating bias tape lined up on my table downstairs to just pin to my pocket pattern. It's got so many holes in it, I'm going to have to redraw it soon. It's just made out of graph paper. But I've been kind of collecting bias tape.
Yeah, it just occurred to me, wait, I don't have any bias tape.
Yeah, you can, there are ways to make your own, with like an iron. I have a bias tape maker, actually, that my friend Christine 3D printed for me. So... Fancy.
I have a 3D printer.
You do have a 3D printer.
Okay, so now I need that STL as well.
It's just a little, basically it looks like a little, like a wedge that has a hole through it that you thread the fabric through, and then basically you pull it through and then run your iron over it. So it's pretty simple little piece of kit. I think you could probably find a file for it pretty easily.
Okay.
Let's see. Probably going to fiddle with the pattern more for this dress because I've got a couple of places where I can just fit it just a little bit better because, you know, looking your best, apparently, tailoring is your best friend. You can make something tailored to you exactly and you look awesome. So I'm going to attempt to do that with this pattern. It's already 10 times better than it was because the top is now fitting nicely instead of being a sack. yes. So there's that. And then, I don't know, maybe I'll be able to make a couple of Bulbasaurs. I've stuffed his head now, so his head is now stuffed. And his body. And then we actually, Matthew's parents got us tickets to the state fair. So
oh, fun!
We may be going this weekend. I have to see what time my D&D finale game is. It's on Saturday. So we might go Saturday night or maybe Sunday. I'm not sure. But that may be a thing. But, yeah. State cool. fair. I don't think I've been to a state fair since I was 9. It's been a while.
Right on. Sounds like fun. Mm. Well, remember, folks, you can always come watch us record live at twitch.tv/geekgrills on most Monday evenings. Our next one will be September 27th at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, and we'll have a special guest, J.F. Dubow, to talk about his new book.
All right. And in addition to the subs and bits that we get on Twitch, we are supported by our amazing patrons. You're the greatest girlfriends on the internet. You can become a patron at www.patreon.com/grills. And if you have Amazon Prime, you can sub to us for free every month on Twitch.
And another way to show your support is by leaving us your review. You can do so on any of your podcast catchers. You can check out what topics we're going to do in the next month on our schedule below on our Twitch page. And if you're a patron, you can suggest a topic to us, and we'd love to hear your ideas. So where can we find you girls on the interwebs?
I can be reached at 9of12 on Twitter and Twitch, and you can hear me on the Heresy and Hearsay podcast.
You can find me on Instagram under DappleDame and on Twitch as Ray Ino.
And you can find me on Twitch and Instagram under the name madcap_misc. That's MISC. And you can check out my store at madcapm.com. Thanks for listening, everyone. Good game.
GG.
GG.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.